B-Pod Studios.
This what y'all wanted for 98 Mile? All right, man, you got it. Hey, well, listen, man, I'm only giving y'all a little bit, you know what I mean? Check me out. Let me give off the 98.5. You could have done better behind the wise guy. Touch and rich will give you good sports, but your hip game suck and you ugly as f***. Touch it look like Al Bundy on crap, while rich look like you been banged from the back. I got a new name for you. I bet you like that. It's the Lil Sloan Pack. Can you imitate that? Ha ha. I bet you like that. Strip club on the way. Wall dick, where you at? 898 Miles, man. Y'all sure y'all want me to do this, man?
What about Tony Max?
Let me get something straight. Tony, I heard you was gay.
We're trans next.
That can't be so. Mark Debuchin, Mr. One that told me so. Ha ha.
Mike Felger.
On the pretty ass Scott. I heard you was Tom Dick Jacket. Tell me now. Ha ha. I got a couple more people I could get, man. But you know what I mean? I'm going to leave it at this. I did this for y'all. All right? Wall Dick, where you at? Check me out.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That, of course, Brandon Merriweather. He's brought to you this morning by DN Van Lines. DN Van Lines is the movie company who knows your playbook, audibles around your schedule, and does their job. An approved mover of the DOD, 851 mover, dnvanlines.com. Mr. Merriweather, what's good?
Chilling. What's good, baby?
That's right, baby. We're all chilling.
All right.
Did you have a good week?
I had a great week, man. I have a great week every week.
Really? You're a positive person.
Always. There's no need to be negative.
All right. Well, there's only two people I follow on Instagram outside of the show, Brandon Merriweather, Gronk and you. And you had a tweet the other day that said, everyone got one friend that always say the dumbest blank, but no matter what, that's my dog. Love you, fat daddy. And then you just posted a bunch of pictures of this dude shoving his face with food. Tell me about Fat Daddy. He seems like an interesting character.
Fat Daddy is actually he's my chef. He's actually the cook. He's the person that will always tell me when I'm messing up or doing something crazy. He gonna speak his mind regardless whether it's right or wrong. He gonna say it. He's that person. He's the, like I said, he's the one who always say what's on his mind regardless of, you know, if he got facts with it or not.
All right. Do you let him use your bathroom?
Downstairs, yeah.
So I guess you have a special bathroom that is off limits. That's just your bathroom. You don't want anybody else's butt heat on it, right?
Right. This is my bathroom, man. In my room, don't nobody use my bathroom. I don't even let my daughter use my bathroom.
Oh, good for you. That's good for you. All right. So Rob Gronkowski was doing the game for Fox yesterday, and he said before the game he was talking about how the team was so, you know, unexcited after the win in Green Bay, and he said that was something he didn't like about
you remember the Philly game, yeah,
the Tom Philly Brady game, yeah. He was saying Tom Brady and how he was all down, and Gronkowski said that wasn't something he missed, that he didn't like that about being on the Patriots, that you could never get too up. Did you feel that way when you were on the team?
No, not really. Like a win is a win, you know, and Brady, the reason Brady ain't getting up is because the offense ain't playing the way he wanted to. Like, it ain't that you can't never get too up. It's the fact that you know you got to, you know, this win only lasts so long. And if you ain't playing the best football you can, then what you getting up about? So I think the reason Tom ain't getting up is because of, you know, how the team is playing, not because they won and they can't get up like that. I think Gronk is wrong about that.
Did you hear of, like, other teams? Yesterday, Gronk was talking about how, you know, the Patriots obviously have an edge in the elements and in the weather. What was, like, the worst conditions that you remember Bill Belichick making you guys practice in?
It was 24 inches of snow. We had the night before, but he told us though, so he warned us. He told us, he said, listen, it's going to be snow. I want everybody to get here on time, you know, so leave early, whatever you got to do. It's going to be a lot of snow, y'all, just be there. And we practicing outside, so dress accordingly, like he told us. And he wasn't lying. It was a snowstorm that day. And actually, you know, it's crazy though. It was actually a snowstorm that day, and it was the same snowstorm that Sunday right before the game. So, like, what we practiced and we were prepared for.
How much does that suck? So, coach comes out there and says, guys, I don't care what's happening outside. We're going to practice in it. And how long does he have you guys practice in the snowstorm?
A whole practice, a full practice, a whole two-hour practice, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever the practice was. That's what we was out there for. We did everything.
All right, so you're from Florida. You went to Miami. Did it take you a while to get adjusted to playing in that kind of weather?
No, it didn't. I the team helps a lot. You know, they gave me all the, look, man, if you're trying to stay warm, do this. If you want to do something, do this. Like, I played in two cold games when I was in college. And I played terrible because we didn't know anything. You know, I didn't know. I had on, like, five sleeves and a pair of gloves and, you know. So it wasn't, no, in college I played terrible. But when I got to the league, they told me how you put rubber gloves up under your gloves to make your hands stay warm with a heating pad in it. You know, you got stuff for your feet to keep your feet warm, right? They give you all them hints, you know what I mean, with the older guys. So, you know, no, so it wasn't that bad.
Was that the practice that several players showed up late because of the snow?
The Jetsons comment.
Oh, it's only one person showed up late. That was AD. Yeah. AD showed up late.
So what happened? I take it you're all sitting there. Was it a scene when he showed up?
He gave us a warning. He said, look, it's going to be snowing, so y'all leave your house early. Don't try to leave at the same time you normally do.
Yeah. And then when he shows up, kind of take me through, because I forget the story. Did he walk in during, like, the morning meeting?
Yeah, he walked in. No, we was getting ready to go to practice when AD walked in. We was getting ready to go to practice. We was walking out of the meeting, getting ready to go to practice.
And how does that go? Like, does Bill say something to him then, or when does he know that he's in trouble?
He knew he was in trouble when he decided to leave and be late. Like, Bill ain't have to say nothing to him. He already knew.
Adelius Thomas' quote was, this is not the Jetsons, thinking that they could just get right into practice without the snow.
Right. That's happened to me. It's unfair to ask people to be early. I mean, what if you don't have a plow service? Brandon, I've been late to work, and I've been chastised for it. But sometimes it's just almost impossible to get in.
Listen, right? You're a grown-up. You know you got a job to do. So you should have thought about that the night before.
Ooh. There's nothing I can do the night before. It's snowing the night before, and then the plow comes in, and then it ices me in.
You should have left earlier.
Now, Brandon, what if I were to tell you that the company paid for a hotel that he didn't use?
He paid for a hotel? They paid for a hotel for you?
Well, I didn't use it.
Oh, that's your fault, man. You did. Listen.
What if I told you the hotel was in Dorchester?
the point is, you got a hotel. I don't care where it was at, as long as it was close to work.
See, I thought I could take an Uber in, and then that would work. But they were cads, and they did not let me in. But Brandon, we'll have to agree to disagree on that.
You're wrong, bro. You just want to. If you want me to agree with you to make you seem like you're right, just send me a hint, man. But I'm telling you,
I want
wrong.
You to say that I'm right.
All right, you're right, dog.
All right, thank you, Brandon. I think you know who.
They were tripping, yo. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, the management even understood, but I had everyone, Tom, Dick, and Harry in here giving me problems. Are you lax with your staff because you're a restaurateur? Do you find yourself having to be strict with the staff, or are you kind of a people person?
I'm a people's person. I try not to even deal with too much when it comes. Now, I am the one who decide if somebody needs to be fired or not, and I'm that person. But no, I'm pretty relaxed with everybody. I don't say too much.
You ever had to fire anyone?
Yeah, and I fired a couple people.
Now, what was the worst reason you had to fire someone?
The worst reason was somebody who was she had a drug problem. So I had to let her go, and she was actually really good. That's the crazy part.
Okay, so not to drastically change the subject, but there was a very funny moment yesterday. The Redskins, they end up winning a game yesterday, and during the final kneel down, Haskins, the quarterback, was missing. No one could find him during the final play, the final kneel down. And when they did find him, he was taking selfies with people in the stands while that was going on. If that was your teammate, what would you say to him?
I feel like fired. That bitch, like, you tripping. I would told him, you tripping. Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you could do that after the game, bro. Not during the game. Long as the whistle could be blown for a play, you pay attention. Like, if I was his coach, I'd find the brakes off on him. Like, you tripping, bro.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, he need to learn that. Like, yo, this ain't something you do.
All right. Well, did you ever have teammates, because Zolak has talked about this, did you ever have teammates that you were amazed on how dumb they were?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody has, though. You know, everybody that looked at somebody and was like, oh, my God, how the H-E-double-L you made it here.
All right,
you done this.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. All right, so without giving names, if you don't want to give names, can you give us an example of something that you just, like, shook your head and said, what the hell is this guy thinking?
Let me think. The worst one that I had. Probably the worst one that I had was I had a teammate that was riding down a one way backwards coming to the game, like into traffic. And I just like how do you not see and not know that this is one way, bro? And he thought he was going the right way. Like, he was getting mad at other cars for coming at him. Like, he was like, no, like, and blowing horn at him and everything. Did not want to fight. I was like, bro, you know that's one way, right? He was like, no, man, they wrong. I'm like, bro, read the sign right here, bro. Say one way, bro. He's no, bro, you tripping. I was like, all right.
You were in the car with him?
No, man, I was there. I was at the game, the way you got to, everybody, all the traffic go one way, so it's nobody getting jammed up. So it's like a one-way, you know, all the way around.
Contra flow, yeah.
Yeah, all the way around the, what's the name, it's one way. And he was coming the opposite way, trying to get to the parking lot, and I was sitting there watching him.
Okay, and then he was unaware that traffic was flowing in his direction.
Yeah, he got mad at everybody. He's getting mad at everybody. He got mad at security. Like, he got mad at everybody.
Because he thought everyone was wrong and that he was right.
Yeah. I was like, bro, you just dumb as hell, bro. Let's see this now. You just dumb. Like, it ain't no reason for this. You just dumb as hell. You can't read or something, bro.
All right. So is this Patriots defense one of the best defenses you've ever seen?
I think Bill is one of the best coaches I ever seen. I don't necessarily think the defense is. I think. Don't get me wrong. I think defense is damn good, but I think Bill is doing a great job of putting game plans together. That's what I think. I think Mayo and Lil Bill is all doing a great job of putting the game playing together. I think that's what it is.
So you think that all these pieces, if they were on a different team, they wouldn't be nearly as good as they are? Like, if you put Kyle Van Noy, let's say, you know, on the Giants, or you moved him around, you don't think that they'd be able to perform to the level they are here?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not even, it wouldn't even be close.
Is that going to keep teams from, I guess, paying them a ridiculous amount of money, or are we going to kind of see this all happen one more time?
Oh, no. They're going to get paid regardless. Like, that's one thing I can say about the Patriots. You know, like, when you're on a winning team, you get paid regardless. Like, somebody going to pay a ridiculous amount of money for a backup. You know, somebody who ain't even on the field as much. They're going to pay because you got a winning pedigree. You've been with a winning team, and people want what the Patriots got.
Did you think the name they wanted to give themselves, the defense, the boogeyman, was corny?
No, I never even heard of that. I never heard that they were trying to get a name, the boogeyman. I never heard that. Why would they do that? Like, what's the point of that?
I don't know. It was Kyle Van Noy, I think, started calling them the boogeyman. And was it McCourty who said it was corny?
Yeah, Devin McCourty was just like, we don't need to be giving
like, someone got
names.
A shirt made, and then it was a whole thing. So you do think that's corny?
Yeah, that's absolutely corny. Like, no, don't do it.
All right.
Don't do it.
It's because Darnold saw ghosts. That's what it was.
No, it was before that. It was before. Oh yeah, the boogeyman was a couple weeks.
Yeah,
into the season.
He looked at the ghost comment as like,
and he goes, "Now it's real. We're the boogeyman."
It verified what he was thinking.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon Merriweather. It looks like closer and closer we come to you coming up to Boston.
Man, y'all ain't did nothing yet. Ain't nobody called me and told me nothing yet.
Oh, well, that is news to us. So we will get that worked out. We want you to come up. We will get that worked out.
I want to come up.
All right. Well, you know, Waldick had surgery.
Yeah, I know, man. We talked about this last week. Y'all remember?
Yep.
I don't remember.
You do not like Joe, the guy filling in for him. That's right.
Yeah, I told you, man. What's his name? John Murray?
Yeah, Joe Murray.
Yeah, Joe Murray. Yeah, he just he sounds terrible.
All right. You don't like him. You're very protective of John.
Yeah, well, you missing Waldick, man. You know what I'm saying? He trying to take my dog's job, man. Hey, listen,
I'm just sitting here, Brandon. I ain't taking anybody's job.
All right. Well,
with Waldick, man. Y'all don't leave Waldick out.
All right. Well, you're a very good friend, Brandon Merriweather, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. There you go. Brandon Merriweather. We'll go around the NFL in just a moment.
The NFL in 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Around the NFL is brought to you by Doctors Matthew Lopresti and Robert Leonard, the hair doctors of Stephen Gostowski at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Holy wrangle, bankroll boys.
Third down and goal at the Raider 1 yard line. Darnold takes the snap, drops back, looks left, has time, looks right, throws, top of the end zone. It is caught. Robbie Anderson, he's got a Jet touchdown.
Oh, maybe Manish Mehta was right. Sam Darnold was indeed the best quarterback in the AFC East this weekend. Two passing touchdowns, one rushing, and the Jets murder the Raiders 34-3. To be quite honest, I would have never have guessed that, but Joe Murray, he said, keep an eye on this one. It's the ref angle.
He made like a call or two that were controversial. But one thing I didn't know you could do. By the way, the Jets played a perfect game, and Sam Darnold has been fantastic over the last 3 weeks. But nonetheless, and he has no one to throw to. But the thing that happened is that they had scored a touchdown, and you know every touchdown is reviewable, and they overturned the touchdown. It wasn't a challenge. It was overturned because of a pick play. Which I was unaware that you could review something for a penalty while you reviewed a touchdown. There's new things every day that I'm finding out about the NFL and its officiating policies. Well, so there you go.
You want to hear a sad John Gruden? Here he is.
You know, what happens is you drop a couple passes, you miss a field goal, and then that happens. And it is a sinking feeling. You ever been on a boat that's sinking? It's not happy. It's not pleasant.
No.
Like I said, I'm not going to say much more.
Have
I'm
you?
Emotional about it. I apologize to Raider fans that came out today. It wasn't good enough.
All right. He gave up with, like, I think the Jets were up. At the time, I don't think it was 34-3. I think it was, like, 27-3. And he pulled Carr and the running back out of the game with, like, 6 minutes left in the third. He just, like, gave up. which I found fairly odd. But and then they brought in who's the backup over there in Oakland?
You ever in a plane crash? I mean, it's bad. You know, you're not having fun.
They brought him in, and he proceeded to fumble two of the first three snaps that he got. So there you go.
So I mean, yeah, but I mean, this is, I will say this about Sam Darnold. After what could have been a crippling moment for his career, the I'm seeing ghosts, yeah. It get caught on tape, and the whole world coming down on you, you know, on prime time, to do what he's done the last several weeks, that's impressive. It is impressive. And unfortunately, it's going to keep Adam Gase around, too.
Yeah, well, no, it's Gase deserves a little bit of credit now, but... You know, have you ever been you got a sinking boat over there and you're dumping the crew in the water and you're saying, hey, how the hell do I get out of this thing alive?
You ever been holding Foles face first in the water trying to drown him?
You ever have to eat a human? You're out there in a boat and you're stuck at sea and then you got to figure out, you want the fat one or the lean one?
Yeah, choose the calves first. They got the most meat.
Yeah, you ever have to make a decision that haunts you? You ever wake up in the middle of the night sweating and yelling?
I don't think I ever have.
Have you ever been on a sinking ship? No.
All right. Well, admit it, Eagles fans, you miss Nick Foles.
No.
Judging from what I saw yesterday, you would be praying to have him back.
But they'll throw it out of it. Wentz, pressure, gets rid of it. It's intercepted. McDougal was right there. He was trying to get it to the tight end, Goddard, and Wentz underthrew him. Bradley McDougal.
Oh, Carson Wentz, he's fumbles since good. Week 7. He's been awful. Yesterday, yeah. The Eagles had 5 giveaways, including 2 interceptions and a fumble from Carson. They get beaten up by the 9-2 Seahawks, who are looking more and more like the real deal. I mean, they've been good all season long. But
he got confused on a play, too, where he didn't know the 2-minute warning was coming.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Just threw one ball away, too. Just like... He's been bad.
But he's sitting there, and then they called a 2-minute warning, and he was visibly confused. Like, he had no idea what time of the game it was. Now, listen, they probably weren't going to win that game at that point. But nonetheless, you got to have something going on mentally.
Yeah, that was not good. Here is Carson Wentz afterwards.
How do you think you played today?
Not well enough at all. You know, we got to I have to, you know, be better. I have to lead this team better. I got to protect the football better. We can't put it on the ground the way we did. And it starts with me. It starts with me, and I'm frustrated. I know everyone's frustrated with this loss offensively. I mean, like I said, turning the ball over starts with me. I got to be better, and we will be.
Mm-hmm.
That division is doo-doo.
Well, let me do something here real quick with the screen here, if you don't mind, Mike, because – I have to get to this story, and we mentioned it with Brandon Merriweather, but it's my favorite story from over the weekend. So the Redskins beat the Lions, which, of course, I'm sure Matt Patricia is really proud of that. By the way, is Stafford going to be out for the rest of the season?
I heard a rumor.
Yeah.
Why the hell would you play him now?
Yeah, I heard a rumor that, as a matter of fact, there was a report this morning that they may end up holding him out for the
rest
of the season.
For him to miss a game is, like, huge.
Like, that dude is an Iron Man.
Yeah, so I would keep him out for the rest of the season.
I would think so, too. Well, Dwayne Haskins, rookie quarterback for the Redskins, they end up winning the game. However, on the final play...
More critical than Quentin Dunbar's for the last field goal attempt. And Dwayne Haskins all smiles.
Taking selfies with a fan. As Haskins celebrates.
On the final play of the game, a victory kneel down. The coach couldn't find his quarterback because he was up against the barrier taking selfies with people in the crowd.
Yeah, all right, three things about Haskins is, A, his arm is, like, in just insanity. I mean, he's huge, and his arm is just nuts. Two, he has autonomy on that team because Snyder's never going to do anything to him because
he's his guy.
No, yeah, because he's his kid's friend.
Right, right.
And C, he seems to be really dumb.
Well, I mean, that is as dumb as it gets. And so here's Bill Callahan, the interim coach. Since the other Gruden was fired on what happened there.
At the end of the game, we saw Case Keenum coming out to do the kneel down for the formation. Can you explain, like, what happened there, why Dwayne wasn't in on that play? TV cameras seemed to show him off.
We're looking for him. We were looking for him, too. Yeah. I think he thought the game was over. I think he thought it was over. So, yeah, we'll have to find out. I'll have to find out a little bit more.
Oh, you're happy.
I know that we called for the new victory formation and Case. came out on the field.
I mean, how about, like, he's not going to start the next game?
Right. It's like, well, that's something we can't have happen again.
No, he's just like, oh, we can't find him.
Yeah, he's a prankster. Yeah. This crazy guy.
Oh, what? Yeah, he was not paying any attention to the game.
If you're Dwayne Haskins, what do you say when you're asked about it? Not this.
Where were you on the kneel down?
I was so hyped. I think I broke a water bottle. I look up and we're in victory. I said, oh, I thought the game was over with already. But I'll get it next time.
I'll get it next time.
Yeah, good.
Right back at you.
Yeah, I don't think he's, again, the most accountable guy on that team. I think he's pretty much got carte blanche. By the way, he was just unbelievable yesterday, too. Dwayne Haskins deserves every bit of that.
I mean,
accolades.
That's why, you know, you can take a look at what Brady's doing and just not feel bad, because there's, I mean, look at all of the nobody's playing quarterback right now. All the injuries that have forced this stuff to happen, teams that are starting anew and quarterbacks that haven't worked out. So, I mean, as bad as you think things may be, you know, in Patriot world, because you're used to him being like a otherworldly, things aren't as bad as you think they are.
I mean, record's pretty good. I mean, Dwayne Haskins was a bad pick, and Jeff Driscoll for the Lions is
playing well.
Yeah,
he's in the Red Sox system, by the way, drafted by the Boston Red Sox.
Well, there you go, a little factoid there by Mr. Murray. All right, we'll be back. We'll continue to go around the NFL. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
The NFL in 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich as we continue to move around the NFL, Rich.
Yep, and I keep telling you, you think Brady's not doing well? Look around the league, because there's another superstar quarterback who was awful yesterday.
They get 8 points. Going left. Eyes downfield. Great protection. Wide open. George Kittle inside the 10. Touchdown San Francisco. Oh, baby. That's 61 yards.
Joe, we were just talking about this off the air. The 49ers, we now can officially say, are a extremely good team. Like, they are legitimate. Their defense has been great all season long. And then, you know, the offense, sometimes you've seen it not quite as consistent. But, man, they're good enough. They are good enough to win the NFC. And you saw it yesterday. And another thing you saw is an all-time crap game from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had one of the worst games that he's had in a long, long time. As a matter of fact, he finished with just 104 pass yards versus the Niners, his fewest in a game with at least 30 pass attempts, and the second fewest by any quarterback to attempt at least 30 passes in a game this season. The only quarterback with fewer, Fred, was Sam Darnold in the Seen Ghost game against the Patriots. That's it.
I'll tell you, is those State Farm commercials even bug me. He just bugs me.
There's one of them I don't get, which is because there's such, you know, high level of humor. But there's one where the agent is having a dream
yeah,
and he sees Aaron Rodgers, and then he sees Patrick Mahomes, and he wakes up and he's like, oh, I had a dream. Why is he having a bad dream?
I think it's because Mahomes is a part. I don't know. They're both in it.
Well, no, because
he's jealous of the State Farm agent.
Yeah, he's jealous. Well, the whole thing is he's jealous of the State Farm agent, because the agent who is making money off of his endorsements in NFL salary is very jealous of the State Farm agent who's making an hourly pay.
Well, in fairness, I didn't really pay too much attention to it.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers, I think he's fallen off a cliff. He's gotten bailed out by calls all year long. They haven't beat a good team all year long. And, like, to score 8 points this week, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I know it's against the 49ers who are good, but, like, they're a playoff team. 8-3, that's the worst 8-3 team I've seen.
Yesterday I saw analysts pick them to go to the Super Bowl. So, I mean,
But you could also see, out of nowhere, all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers becoming Aaron Rodgers again, correct? Like, I mean, we don't know. There hasn't been enough of a sample size of him sucking to think that this is it.
I don't know. I've always thought he was overrated.
I don't know. I think this. I've seen three games in a row, I think.
See, the minute you think he's overrated, again, he has some miracle game.
You know, just like, just, oh, these, my guys. Yeah. Man,
you can't count him out. But
just the way that he's always talked about it, and then you're like, oh, you don't know.
Well, here's Rodgers.
You don't know. You can't see.
Here he is afterwards.
Yeah, we didn't do a whole lot positive tonight. A lot of stuff we talked about during the week, eliminating negative yards plays. Obviously, we didn't do that, so they got after us up front, and covered us good on the back end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so none of it's your fault. A lot of negative plays. They had trouble up front, and then they covered you well in the back end. So yeah, it was nothing you did.
Let's talk about what went on with Mason Rudolph. Now, we all know the situation with Myles Garrett. By now, the helmet gets taken off, hits Mason Rudolph on the head, and then during the appeals to cut down his suspension, he says that Myles Garrett says that Mason Rudolph said something, a slur towards him. He didn't say exactly what it was, but Mason Rudolph yesterday after the game answered questions about it.
The other day when you found out about...
Yeah, but I think anyone would, any human would be in one day when your integrity is intact and something said about you is totally untrue. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe that, you know, he would, you know, go that route after the fact. But it is what it is. I think I moved on. And one day it was tough, but moved on. We're good now. We're good to go now.
Is there any room for interpretation? You said something that might have, you know, some other...
Absolutely not. I did not. There was nothing, not even close.
Bad day because he got benched as well by the Steelers.
He recovered all the way to the bench.
Mm-hmm. I think that kid Hodges is better than Rudolph, the duck caller. That kid is pretty hot. He's
Why
pretty
is a duck caller? What's his
name? He won a duck calling professional contest or something.
Oh, so he's from...
he's like really good at duck
calls. He's from New York
City. I don't know that, but...
That sounds like somewhere where you would be good at duck calling. Getting him in there. Urban kid, calling over the pigeons.
Do you know how to do a duck call?
Yeah, you get a duck thing and then you do the call.
You're blowing it, right? I mean, I don't think you can... Do you do it with just your mouth? I thought you had to have one of those things to blow into, like a plastic thing.
Yeah, you got to have a little thing. Don't worry about it. You guys don't need to know. You're not allowed up in my duck blind where I'm getting it going. All right. Around the NFL brought to you by Drs. Matthew Lopresti and Robert Leonard, the hair doctors, Rog Ninkovich. You can give them a call at 1-800-GET-HAIR. We will return. We got Gary Goldman. We got Bob Soucy all on the way.
Touchers. 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. We got Gary Goldman coming in, our friend. We also have Bob Soucy, a mild acquaintance, coming on at 9 o'clock. The Bankroll Boys have got their T-shirts out. It's funny, Joe Murray telling stories about how they were going to get taken up to the broadcast booth, and Murray saw the stairs and just said, screw it, I'm not going.
True story.
Yeah, they're just like, you're a man who knows. Wait, listen, you're on your own time.
Oh, yeah. It was a hefty walk there yesterday.
Yeah, you don't need to walk. You were standing up for all that time out there at the tailgate. So hearing there was a great response for the Bankroll Boys yesterday as they had their own tailgate out there at Gillette in the awful, awful weather.
It poured.
Yeah. Was it full?
Yes. The place was packed and tons of Cowboy fans.
Yeah.
Tons of Cowboy
fans. I saw a bunch downtown this weekend. Like, they traveled well. And they were fairly loud there at the game last night, too.
The November rain, though. Can't hold it off.
Listen, I can hear your love restrained. You know what I'm saying? All right. Do we got what we need?
No, we're going to have to hold off.
All right.
We're going to have to hold off.
So is this something that will work tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it will work tomorrow.
Okay, it's not something that we needed today?
No, we don't need it today. But there is something that's kind of funny that happened over the weekend. Did you see about Jacoby Ellsbury and what the Yankees are doing to him right now?
Well, I know they caught him.
Yeah, but did you hear what else they're doing?
No.
He's got a year left on his contract. What is it, like
26 million?
They're not going to pay it.
So,
yep, according to the New York Post on Friday, because Jacoby Ellsbury hasn't been playing for the last 2 years.
Yeah, 2017.
So they have filed something that says that behind their back, he's been getting medical treatment at this place in Atlanta without their permission. So they're like, that violates our contract. This contract no longer guaranteed. F you. See ya. Goodbye.
Wow. Do you think if you're Jacoby Ellsbury, you have the balls to go and fight that?
Well, I would. Why not?
Of course you would. Yeah, well, I mean, the Players Association is going to say something.
No, of course I would fight it. But I'm just like, there'd be a part of me that said, you know, they're right.
Yeah, you know, I've been a massive bust for this team. And at some point, right, out of the 150 million I think he got, it was like $150 million contract. I can't believe that he's still due another year's salary. But yeah, so after not playing for 2 years, and even before that, just being a massive disappointment, like sitting there and asking for your last year, and they're just like, nope, you ain't getting it.
They just needed a rifle-armed center fielder, and they were willing to do whatever they needed to do to get it. Jacoby Ellsbury.
I don't even remember anybody who was a Red Sox fan being upset when that happened.
Well, he was like an MVP candidate. I think he was the runner-up.
But the amount of money that was being spent on it, I even think most people were just like, dude, I don't.
Yeah, and then we had that back 1 year in a contract year, and it was kind of like, eh.
And he had the back issues beforehand, too. Front and back. Yeah. Front didn't
That's
even
right. That Front thing. And back. That's yep. And not to bring up the Mookie Betts thing. Just me personally, I don't want to pay guys that are speed guys with a little bit of power.
Yeah,
I think Mookie will be great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not comparing the two. It's just when you think about big money long term, look what happened to Ellsbury. Look what happened to Colin Crawford. I don't know if Mookie's in McCutcheon, that same category, but
McCutcheon did the same thing. I wouldn't.
I think Mookie's better. I don't want to, guys with speed, with power. Sometimes you got to watch
it. You just put Mookie Betts' name and Colin Crawford in the same sentence.
No, but really think about it. You want to pay a guy $30+ million a year that most of his game is dependent on speed. That's exactly what Ellsbury was.
And will he be able to keep up those power numbers at his size?
Yeah.
The fact that he plays right field and people say he'll play center field, and I say, no, he won't. They're not going to keep a guy with
Fine,
that
I'll
kind
say
of
it. I'll put field. Him in the same sentence. Whatever.
As Carl $30
million dollars a year?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest. I wouldn't be the most heartbroken person in the world if he's gone. I want him to stay, obviously, because I think baseball's stupid, and the fact that you can just spend what you want. Like, any sport that doesn't have a cap, and I know, we got to pay a tax. Who cares? You have money. Like, I've always thought that was ridiculous. So just pay the guy.
No,
doesn't matter.
But you need young talent. You can't just go out and buy a bunch of free agents. I mean, there is a point, no matter what you want to do about the luxury tax, where you have to have talent.
Well, to that, I would say there's no kind of prospects that you can get that will, the chances are they're never going to end up being
a Mookie Betts. Yeah, but that's not the point, is that you have to acquire assets in order to make trades, in order to, you know, have people fill positions. It's not a matter of if they're going to be as good as Mookie Betts. They're not. It's a matter of filling the coffers and, you know, getting pieces that you can either move or that can fill in slots. I mean, it could be anything.
Just please get rid of them and then, you know, keep those ticket price gouging. You just keep raising those prices after you get rid of them, too. Good time to do that.
No, they are. They've raised the prices again.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it used to be $1 to get into Turner Field, and then if you go over here...
and milk used to be a nickel.
Well, it was $1 to get into Turner Field, and if you knew the bartenders, you were drinking for free. So there is a point to be made there. All right.
Have you seen that thing that's attached, that's going to be attached to Fenway, the new music venue? It's going to be 4,000 people, I'm hearing. Anything that keeps me from having to go to Mansfield, I'm A-okay with.
Why the hell couldn't they just knock part of Fenway down and make it better then?
No, 4,000 is perfect.
Yeah, it's where the Ipswich garage is right there.
Yeah, but why couldn't they just...
No, it's the corner that all the Nessun trucks sit in, right? Okay. At the corner of Lansdowne.
Then why don't they just knock Fenway down and build it better?
I mean, they're adding on to Fenway.
Wasn't that the whole point, is that they weren't able to knock it down and move it because of what the city said?
They're adding on to it. And that corner is basically Fenway Park. I mean, there's just a bunch of trucks, like TV trucks that are there.
So they're able to take it and get in. That's their land that they're building on. That's part of Fenway Park.
But you couldn't extend the field of play or put seats there. You couldn't do that. It's too far back. Yeah. It's on the road. It's like way far back.
Oh, so there's separation between the two.
Yes. Well, no, you would be able to walk into Fenway from there if they wanted to. Like, there would be doors that could open.
It's going to be the House of Blues, where I can get down with some nasty, naughty blues, and then there's also going to be a new venue.
Man, it is the golden age of live music venues here. I'm not kidding you. Just anything that gets me from going to Mansfield, I am A-okay with. Because you're going to have a lot of bands that would normally play there now playing in a 4,000-seat venue right there at Fenway. Public transportation, I am A-okay with that.
What about, man, the Rat?
Well, Rat's over at the Six String or whatever that place is called. We're not Toby Keith's with 2/5 of Rat.
No, not Rat, the band, the Rat, the club.
Oh, the Rat. Okay, that even Rat playing at the Six String.
Yeah.
Or whatever the place is called.
Now, are you going to go see Rat?
No. I mean, listen, I would love to see him. I'm not going to Gillette.
Yeah, I know.
If it was
in Austin, I would see Rat.
Oh, the Brighton Music Hall? I'm there in I'm there at the Paradise. I'm there at any of those places.
Yeah.
If I could take public transportation, I'm all in.
By the way, I was in Fenway the couple of days ago. The machine is still open.
Yeah, but everyone says that the day of doom is coming.
I drove by. Look, there was a line out the door.
We haven't had the guy from Machine on in a very long time.
It has been a while.
Young Nicholas has not been going out to the machine. But, I mean, the guy from the machine is truly someone that we should be talking to.
Yeah, maybe we do a holiday edition. Yeah.
Yeah, like he could do the 12 days of machine. What he would like for machine.
I like, okay.
Ron taking pitches.
Ron's disappeared. I thought I heard Ron's voice the other day, and I flipped out. I was walking through the Macy's at Downtown Crossing, and I heard this, and I'm like, oh, where is he? I swear I spent 5 minutes looking all around the store trying to find him. Ron,
hey,
not even Ron, what's his name? It's,
I don't know. Ron was the one taking pictures on roller skates.
It's Mikey from the fence.
Yeah. He was the one taking pictures.
I looked all over for him.
These people are just disappearing, and it's not right. Faster guy, Mikey. I mean, Mikey from the fence was a stable. He was a staple at the fence, but here he is gone. All right, we're going to talk to Bob Soucy, have Gary Goldman in studio. All that's coming up. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.